Well, there was a stingy old businessman who had a terminal illness. He decided he would disprove the statement, "You can't take it with you." So he had his wife go to the bank and withdraw as much money as she could fit into a pillowcase. He told her to place the money in the attic, directly above his bed. His plan was to reach out and grab the bag of money on his way up to heaven when he died. Well, a few months after the funeral, the man's wife was cleaning out the attic, and having forgotten all about the husband's silly request, she saw the pillowcase still there, filled with money. She muttered to herself, "I had a feeling I should have put the money in the basement." Today's feast day is the Assumption, when our Blessed Mother is taken up into heaven, body and soul. What a great feast day we celebrate today. This feast day was defined in 1950 by Pope Pius XII. And they say when the official doctrine of the Assumption was declared, every Catholic Church rang its church bells throughout the entire world. I just read a little article this morning that in England, when all the church bells were rung, on the same day, an Anglican archbishop was preaching in his cathedral, and he was lamenting the fact that the Catholics had just declared this a doctrine of the faith. He was saying it was not in tradition, it was not in scripture. Well, the next day in the newspaper, they had a photograph of this Anglican archbishop giving this sermon in his cathedral, and believe it or not, behind him was a window of the Assumption dating to the 12th century. Isn't that ironic? He was saying this is the brand new doctrine that the Catholics are invented, and in his own cathedral from the 12th century was an image of Our Lady being taken up into heaven, body and soul. But this teaching even goes further back. It goes back, of course, to apostolic times. We have liturgies all the way back, obviously, 6th century, 5th century. We have the Feast of the Assumption was already very widespread in the year 451. It was called the Dormition of Our Lady. That after Our Lady's time on earth, she fell into a deep sleep and then was carried up to heaven by angels to be with her divine Son. So this doctrine was not invented in 1950. It was solemnly defined in 1950. Do you see the difference? We don't invent doctrines. They officially get defined at certain times, like the Immaculate Conception in 1854, the Assumption in 1950. But these teachings have been believed since the earliest times and are based upon sacred scripture and sacred tradition. But when Pius XII defined this, he said that at the completion of Mary's earthly life, notice he didn't say whether Mary died or didn't die, we don't know. She certainly could have died, but she didn't have to die. She had no original sin. Jesus didn't have to die. He chose to die. Mary, at the end of her earthly life, perhaps she fell into a deep sleep. Perhaps she died. We don't know. But the Pope says, at the completion of her earthly life, she was assumed body and soul into heaven by the power of God. Mary's assumption is not an ascension. Jesus ascended to heaven of his own power. He is God. Mary was taken up into heaven by the power of God. And she was taken up body and soul. Mary does not have to wait until the second coming of Christ to get her glorified body. We have to wait. We have to wait. After we die, our body goes back to the dust from which it came. But at the general resurrection, our Lord Jesus will raise up our bodies and glorify them. And then our bodies will be united with our soul in the kingdom of heaven. But Mary does not have to wait until the second coming of Christ to receive her glorified body. She receives it at the end of her earthly life and was taken body and soul into heaven. God did not allow her body to decay or corrupt in the earth. And isn't this appropriate? Because Jesus loved his mother. We love our mothers. We wouldn't want our mother's bodies to corrupt and decay in the earth, but we can't do anything about it. But Jesus can. And so Jesus provided for his mother and provided for her body, which was the temple of God, for 9 months, when Jesus was in her womb for 9 months. Mary was that chosen vessel, that chosen temple through which Jesus lived. She was the Ark of the New Covenant. And just as people respected and revered the Ark of the Covenant for what it contained, so we honor and revere and respect Mary for what she contained, the Son of God. People did not worship the Ark of the Covenant. We do not worship Mary. But people respected and honored the Ark. We respect and honor Mary. The Old Covenant was replaced by the New Covenant. The New Covenant is Jesus Christ. He even said at the Last Supper, "This is the blood of the New Covenant, which is shed for you." So the blood of Jesus lived in Mary, in Mary's veins, in Mary's womb, for 9 months. So Mary is called the Ark of the New Covenant. In the Old Testament, when the Ark was brought into the place where it was, they said, "Who am I that the Ark of the Lord should come to visit me?" And the same words were read today in today's Gospel. Elizabeth says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to visit me?" There's a parallel between the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament and Mary in the New Testament. The Ark stayed 3 months. Mary stayed 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth. So today is a great feast day. It's a feast day of hope, a feast day of comfort, because, as the church says, where Mary has gone, we hope to follow. Mary is the pattern. She's the model. She prefigures what we look forward to happening with each one of us, which is future glory in the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. Where Mary has gone, the church hopes to go. That's why it's a great feast day of hope, a great feast day of comfort, because now Mary is interceding for us at the right hand of her son Jesus. Mary prays for us. She comforts us as a heavenly mother. She prays for us that we get to heaven as well. And this great feast day is so appropriate because Mary is the mother of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She was that chosen shrine, that chosen sanctuary, that chosen temple. And God would not want his temple defiled through bodily corruption. And so he took her immediately into the kingdom of heaven at the end of her earthly life. And the last thing we should pray for today would be the grace of a happy death. You know, when we pray the rosary, every mystery we pray for a particular intention. For example, maybe in the Annunciation we pray for humility, or the Visitation we pray for charity, or the Nativity we pray for love. What do we pray for in the fourth glorious mystery of the rosary? We pray for the grace of a happy death. The grace of a happy death. To die in the arms of Jesus and Mary. See, one of the greatest things in life is to have, probably the greatest thing, is to have a happy death. This means a holy death, a well-prepared death, so that when we die, we go into the kingdom of heaven. Well, how do we prepare for a happy death? Well, by living a holy life, you have a holy death. Living a happy life, you have a happy death. If a person is faithful to God, close to the Lord, following him and his commandments, has received the sacraments, and dies in the state of grace, that is a happy death. A happy death is dying in the arms of Holy Mother Church, not being separated from the Church, but being a holy member of the Church. As the Bible says, how pleasing in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. Say, a holy death is very pleasing to the Lord. Well, how can we make sure that we have a holy death? Stay close to the sacraments, go to confession frequently, receive Holy Communion reverently and devoutly, pray your rosary every day. Because in the rosary, 50 times we say that prayer. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Every rosary is 50 prayers for the hour of our death. At the hour of our death, we'll be truly blessed if we get to receive the sacraments, be able to go to confession, receive communion, our viaticum, our food for the journey, are enrolled in wearing the brown scapular, receive the absolution of confession and the apostolic pardon. That is a holy death. And that's what we should all pray for every day when we say that rosary 50 times. Pray for us, Mary, right now and at the hour of our death, because that's really what counts. There's so many powerful stories of deathbed conversions through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, where the priest gets there, hears their confession, reconciles the person to God through the prayers of our Blessed Mother. So let's pray today on the feast day of the Assumption, that just as our Blessed Mother was taken into heaven at the end of her life, so we pray too for a holy and happy death, that when it's our time, the Lord will take us into the kingdom of heaven.